In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. We are in the book of Exodus, and we're about to approach a fascinating chapter, Exodus 24, where we're going to get an insight into God and the kingdom. Now remember, let's go back and review here. We had chapter 19, God comes down and begins the covenant. And through the process, the giving of the law and a variety of other laws are given. And so now the laws are established. And God wants the fellowship with his people, and he warns them, I'm about to bring you into the promised land. I'm going to take care of you. All these promises are given with an expectation, Israel, you have some responsibilities too. This is a bilateral covenant, which means there's obligations that God must fulfill and there's obligations that Israel must fulfill. And if Israel neglects to fulfill those obligations, trouble is on the horizon. So here we are in Exodus 24. Let me read the passage. Now he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him. Now the plan is outlined to Moses and will be fulfilled later in this chapter. Now what's interesting is who's invited. The guest list. We have the priesthood being invited is future. It's not been disclosed yet. That's why Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, are mentioned. Now, the people are there, but they are there through their representatives. 70 elders representing all of Israel. In fact, Exodus 1:5 says, all those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already. So the 70 gets repeated. It's kind of fascinating. So 70 go to Egypt. And now there's 70 over the 12 tribes. Now, who are these 70? Well, let's talk about their character. Exodus 18:21. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. We also know they came before Pharaoh. Exodus 3:16, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. We've also seen these 70 elders at the Passover, Exodus chapter 12, verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. We also see the elders at the water trial, Exodus 17:5. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. All right. And it goes on, and take in your hand your rod, which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock. Now, this was somewhat of a rebuke to Israel. There's a couple other places as well. Jethro in Exodus 18:12. After Jethro had believed in God and done the sacrifice, he, with Moses and Aaron, came with all the elders to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law. So this was a family meal. Then on Mount Sinai, Exodus 19:7, Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded them. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And then they're connected to the priesthood. In an interesting way as well, Leviticus 9:1, it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel and said to Aaron, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before the Lord. So the elders were there installing the priesthood. And then help for Moses, Numbers 11:16. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. So these 70 people are connected to the 12 tribes. They're the leaders. And they are to help lead the people to the Lord. But later, as we're going to discover, some of them corrupted themselves and the people. Now, I want to pause here for a moment. This is such a good picture, and the New Testament affirms this. Now, we don't have 70 elders in churches, but the principle carries on. The Bible describes church leadership as a plurality of elders, because with plurality, there's wisdom and counsel with many in number. And with plurality, no single person can have more power than the other. This is a check and balance, because let's be honest, great power corrupts greatly. I think the expression is absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now, I mentioned how these 70 people were supposed to lead them to God, but we learn later in Israel's corruptions that they led people away from God. This is a frightening passage. Listen to Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 6. Furthermore, he said to me, "Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel commits here? To make me go far away from my sanctuary? Now turn again, you will see greater abominations." Wow. God comes to you and says he sees abominations, and then he says, wait, there's more. "So he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, dig into the wall.' And when I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, 'Go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there.' So I went in and I saw, and there, every sort of creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around on the walls." Those walls were supposed to be clean, not to have this carvings of these creatures. "And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, and in their midst stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of his idols. For they said, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land.'" This is a horrific scene. The leaders of Israel are idolaters, and they justify it by saying, "The Lord has abandoned us. Hey, elders, look at your life. You're sinning. The Lord left you because you disobeyed him. If you want him to come back, depart from your idolatry." How many people have I heard say, "I feel so alone. The Lord has left me. He's not here with me." And my first question is, do you have sin in your life? Because if you do, then the Lord is chastening you. The chastening is to bring you back to him. It's a loving father who sees sin in his son and daughter and spanks them and gives them hardship to make the point, turn from this wicked way and come back. And the Lord even says it. "Their sin forced me to go away because I am holy and I cannot be in the presence of these wicked men and women, idolaters." All they had to do was confess their sin and repent, and God would come back. He was ready. He desired fellowship. But he's a holy God, and he is not going to stand idly by while you embrace sin. This is the challenge for us. So when you are in a situation where you feel God is distant, take that first courageous step and ask the question, have I sinned in a significant way to bring this situation on? And if so, run to God and confess. The Bible tells us, it has an incredible promise. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and righteous. And here it is, to forgive us our sins. And more than that, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Be very careful, particularly if you're partaking of the Lord's Supper, that solemn time when we come before the Lord to confess our sins, to put our thoughts upon the person and work of Christ, all that he did on behalf of us sinners. The scriptures talk about those who come to the Lord's Supper as a pattern with unconfessed sin, with outright rebellion. And Paul says that some were sick and some were asleep. No, they weren't having a peaceful sleep. They were dead. That's a euphemism for their death. We must, as God's holy people, be fearful of God's chastening hand. And therefore, we must confess our sins. Now, let's continue with this passage. What was the purpose? The purpose of all this, keeping this distance, is because God is holy. So they're worshiping from afar, remote at a distance. But Moses gets the privilege. He gets to come near. Now, there's some additional insights on Moses' special relationship with God. If you recall later, there's going to be a rebellion of Miriam and Aaron. And as a result, Miriam has leprosy. Let me read Numbers 12:6 that reveals about God's special relationship with Moses. Then he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord," which I believe is the pre-incarnate Christ. "Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Now, they were speaking, Miriam and Aaron, against Moses unrighteously. They were accusing him of things that he had not done. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them and he departed. See, those were false accusations. The Lord does call us, all of us, to confront sin. That's what Matthew 18:15 is all about. And in fact, Paul and Peter had a little bit of a conversation when Paul confronted Peter for his hypocrisy. He did it in public. So there is this importance that we as the church and as leaders make sure that we are confronting one another in love to deal with sin, whether it's at the leadership level or it's at the lay level. Now, let's continue because there's an implication here. God is establishing a threefold separation. We have Moses the mediator, closest to God. We have Aaron and the priesthood with the 70 representing the people in the middle. And then we have the remaining people in the tents below. And we see that threefold separation in the tabernacle. We have the Holy of Holies. We have the holy place. We have the court of the tabernacle. So in light of this separation, as we begin to wrap up, we see that God desires fellowship with his people. But in the old covenant, that fellowship, well, there were degrees of separation. But for us in the new covenant, Christ has, in his death, he destroyed the veil that separates you and I. There is no longer a separation. If you're a born-again believer, you can go directly to the Lord through Jesus Christ because we're covered in the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that a wonderful truth? May you embrace that this week, that we, that you and I have no separation. We can go directly to the Lord through our Savior, Jesus Christ. The great truth to meditate on, and don't ever forget that. In your time of trial and need, remember, pray, and see how the Lord answers in your life.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.